We were looking yesterday in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, and I read the first verse. I'm going to read the first two verses, and again, I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible. Verse 1 says, "See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason the world does not know, recognize, or acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, or acknowledge Him." Verse number 2 says, "Beloved, we are, even here and now, God's children. It's not yet disclosed or made clear what we shall be hereafter, but we know that when He comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like Him, for we shall see Him just as He really is." I'll even read verse number 3. "And everyone," this is your bonus, "and everyone who has this hope, resting upon Him, cleanses, purifies himself, just as He is pure, chaste, undefiled, and guiltless." So we looked at this yesterday, and we looked at that first verse, and in that first verse, it's talking about that quality, the incredible quality, that manner of God's love, that incredible quality of God's love, and how that love is different than the love that we affix, the meaning that we affix to the word love when we think about love, or when we try to express our feelings or our emotions of love. The love that God had is so amazing. The quality of it is so different than what we experience just in the natural realm and in the flesh. But we also looked at and understood yesterday that even though in the natural, in this natural flesh, it's impossible to understand the things of the Spirit in the natural. So even though it's probably as long as I live in this life where I'm tied to this world and I'm tied to this flesh and this natural, physical world, it's probably going to be impossible for me to fully understand all of that love, but I know this. I can, because that love is in me, that love is in you. Part of the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians, part of the fruit of the Spirit is love. So that love of Jesus Christ resides in you. As a believer, that love of Jesus Christ resides in you. It's a part of who you are. It's in you, that fullness of love. So I can understand more and more every day. I can get a deeper and deeper revelation, insight, and understanding into that quality of love that is the love that God expressed to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the exemplified love of Jesus Christ for you and I. We can understand that. And the more I understand that, the more I see the fruit of that and I get the results of that in my life. And that's what they're kind of saying, that's what we kind of see that John is saying as we get to verse number 3 of 1 John chapter 3. So we looked at verse 1 yesterday, and one of the things we didn't take a lot of time to look at, and I hope you caught this similarity between the two verses, about halfway through verse number 1, it says that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God, and so we are. Now I go down to verse number 2. "Beloved, we are, even here and now, God's children. It's not yet disclosed or made clear what we shall be hereafter, but we know that when he comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like him, for we shall see him just as he really is." So John's letting us know, he's letting the readers, those who read this letter, those who he sent this letter, the letter was read to different churches, different bodies, and it's for us today, so it's the same truth. He wrote this letter because it's the Holy Spirit inspiring this letter. What the Holy Spirit is saying to you and I through this letter that John and through this chapter of the letter that John is writing is that God's incredible love is bestowed and manifested inside of us. It's in you. It is already in you as a believer in Jesus Christ. That's already in you. And because of that, you and I are children of God. Now, what does that mean? Because that's one of those phrases that we tend to throw around a lot. I'm a child of God. I mean, we hear that a lot, and that's awesome. I mean, even just hearing that on the surface, that's awesome. We love that, to know that I'm a child of God. But what does that really mean? What does it truly mean to be a child of God? And as we read through, there's also clear indication that there's to be a resemblance. If you look at, I'm sure this is true for you also. I can look at pictures of myself when I was a teenager. I looked nothing like my dad. But as years have gone by, I look at pictures of myself now and I look at pictures of my dad when he was about my age, and boy, you can really see the resemblance. And I don't know if you've had this experience, but it's kind of a shocking thing when one day you look in the mirror and you say, "Oh my gosh, that's dad." I can see dad in there. You know, the more we grow, the older that I get, it seems like the more and more I look like my father. I take on that resemblance. Well, the same thing is true of us in that spiritual sense as well. Because we are a child of God, because I'm a child of my father in the natural world, I resemble him. I remember not that many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, my father had graduated from Bluffton College, and then most of my siblings graduated from Bluffton College as well. And so we were back at Bluffton College, and I remember somebody saying, "Boy, you can tell that you're your father's son." And sometimes it's hard for us to see that even. But other people saw it, because there's a family resemblance. And it seems like the older I get, the more and more I look like my father, the more and more I resemble my father. Well, that same thing is true spiritually as well. We have the love of God that is in us. And because we've accepted the work that Jesus Christ has done, and because we have his love, that love, dwelling inside of us, we are a child of God. What does it mean to be a child of God? Well, that means that I am taking on the very same traits that he has. The more I allow that love of Jesus Christ that is in me, the more that I come to a revelation of what that means. Again, remember, it's an incredible quality of love. That's what John says. It's an incredible manner. It's a different manner. It's an incredible quality of love. There's a different quality and a higher quality of love than what we normally associate with our usage of the word love. And that quality of love dwells within us. And because that quality of love dwells within you and I, it is more than possible. There's an expectation that as we grow in him, as we nurture that, as we allow that, as I become more and more aware of the reality of that love being inside of me. That doesn't mean that my flesh often feels contrary to the things of God. I mean, the flesh is tied to the world. In my flesh, I can't understand that quality of love. However, I'm not just flesh. You know, a lot of times people say, "Well, you can't ask that of me. I'm just human. You're asking too much. I'm just a human being. I'm just human." No, you're not. You're more than just your flesh. You know, I'm just a man. No, you're more than just the flesh. You're more than just a man. There's three parts to you: your spirit, soul, and body. And the truth of the matter is, your spirit is 100% totally pure. Your spirit is mature as it's ever going to need to be. It's as mature as it can be. Your spirit. Now, I'm not talking about your spiritual growth, because that's part of your soul. But your spirit, that part of you that was dead and was made alive, that part of you that when you accepted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came and dwelled within you. So your spirit became alive because his spirit now is manifested, is dwelling with inside of you. Since his spirit is inside of you, your spirit is alive. Your spirit, because the Holy Spirit's in you, your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is as mature as it's ever going to need to be. So if I say, "Well, you're expecting too much," I'm just a person. I'm just a man. I'm just flesh and blood. You're asking too much of me. No, you're not. That's just one third of who you are. That's only a third. That's not even the majority of who you are. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. And your spirit, as I just explained and demonstrated, your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is untouched by any failures that you make in life, any sins, any shortcomings. Your spirit is unchanged. It's like vacuum packed. It's sealed. In fact, the Bible even uses the word sealed. Your spirit is sealed in Christ. It's pure. It's incorruptible. Your spirit is. Now, my soul can still choose. My mind can still, but that's why I have to keep redeeming my mind, renewing my mind every day. My mind can go to the things of the flesh, and my flesh lives in the flesh. So in my mind, my soul, I've got to decide, am I going to focus on and give myself over to the things of the spirit, or give myself over to the things of the flesh? That's what my soul has to decide. It makes those decisions. So if I say that I'm just merely a man, you're expecting too much. No, that's only a part of who you are. You have, think about this, that perfection, that quality of love that goes beyond anything that you could ever experience in the natural realm, that quality of love is already in you. And the more that you and I think about, focus on, believe, the more time I spend in the Word, the more that love that's in me comes out. Why? Because you and I are a child of God. And so the traits of God are already in us. It's already in your soul. You may not feel like it, but that's the beauty of it. You're not going to feel your soul. the things that you feel, feelings are more attached to this natural realm than to the spiritual realm. Your feelings, your natural feelings, are not going to be in contact with your spirit. You have to know it, believe it, and as you know it and believe it, then those things become manifest. It becomes reality, and you know it then. But the more that I focus on those things, the truth of God, the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of His Word, the more that those truths, including that quality of love that's His in me, it comes out. It becomes more and more of what I am. Why? Because I'm a child of God, and so are you. And we take on, as children, we take on, we resemble, we get that family resemblance. We start to resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. We resemble our Father. And if you say, I don't think I resemble the Father, but I'm telling you, if you've accepted Jesus Christ and the work that He did, you accept the sacrifice, you've made Him your Lord and your Savior, then He dwells within inside of you. And so you are a child of God. And if you allow it, and if I focus on Him and I focus on the Word, that family resemblance is going to come out. I can express that love. I can live in that love. I can begin to understand all that that love means for me and how I can express that to others. Because it's part of the family resemblance. Here's the other good thing. You know, obviously we talk about being adopted in. We think about adoption in the world. If I was to adopt a child, okay, that means I'm taking a child that is not of my flesh, of my blood. And I'm adopting them. I'm saying that legally I'm making that child my own. They're not my flesh and my blood, but they are now my own. They're my child. I've adopted them. They're my child, just as though my flesh and blood children are my child as well. We understand that in a natural sense, but here's the awesome thing about being a believer. Because when it says that you are a child of God, and that's what John is saying here, we should be permitted. He's talking about the honor that it is that you and I have been permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. You're a child of God. And when we talk about adoption in the natural world, we think about it in those terms of, well, they're not my flesh and blood, but I'm still adopting them and making them my own as though they were. But it's different when you're when you become a child of God, when you're adopted into God's family, because in the natural, just because you adopt a child, they become your child just as your other children are. But they're still not your flesh. I mean, you can't make their blood. If you do the DNA test, just because you adopted them, just because you went through the legal, you know, proceedings, it didn't change their blood. It didn't change their DNA. I mean, they have a different DNA than you do. Doesn't mean you love them any less. That's just the physical reality. Just because I adopt you doesn't change your DNA. It doesn't change your blood. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you become a child of God and you're adopted in, guess what? You're under the blood of Jesus Christ. You have that spiritual DNA is now your DNA. You've been washed by, you are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so you become a blood relative with Jesus Christ. You are truly, in the fullest extent of the word, to the fullest, you are a child of God. And so the qualities of God reside in you because that's what resides in your spirit. And those qualities can become manifested. They can become you. You and I are supposed to resemble the one that is our Father. We resemble our family members. We're supposed to resemble those qualities of Jesus Christ that are in us. If you look at a picture of me and you look at a picture of my father, you'll probably be able to say, ah, Todd resembles his father. I see the family resemblance. The world needs to see the family resemblance in us of Jesus Christ. The world needs to see that family resemblance coming through you and I. And those qualities are in there. We saw that yesterday when we looked at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Those qualities are already in there. The virtue and the perfectness of Jesus Christ is what can come and is expected to come through us as children of God. Those who are His children. One final thing I want to think about, or have you consider and think about, regarding being a child of God, as John is telling us that we are. We've already discussed the blood element of it. So that adoption, the blood is changed. You're under the blood of Jesus Christ. So you are a blood child of Jesus Christ. You are in the family. But there's one other thing that John said, which I thought was really significant. We're permitted to be named and called. We are, even here and now, he says in verse number 2, you're children of God, even here and now. You are named and called a child of God. You know, there are certain names that have power. There are certain family names that carry power. If you mention the name Rockefeller, that's a powerful family name. That goes back generations and generations. If your name has Rockefeller, if you got Rockefeller at the end of your name, you're going to get into places, doors will open for you that otherwise wouldn't open for the average person because that's the power that is carried with that name. If your name is Clinton or your name is Bush, there is a power that comes with that name. It's been established. There's a history that's there. You know, there's been authority and power that Clintons have had for like 20 years. For the Bushes, even more than that. There's a power that comes with that name. If your name is Gates, you are so rich beyond belief. If your name is Gates, there's a power that comes. If your last name is Gates and you're associated to Bill Gates, because of that family resemblance, doors open for you that wouldn't open for others. There's power that comes in that name. Well, as a child of God, you've been given the name of Jesus Christ. And the power of that name goes with you and precedes you. It goes with you where you go. And it opens doors. It brings opportunities. It's power. It's more powerful than anything else on the face of this earth. And the Bible tells us that every knee must bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows to the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name that you carry. It's the family name that's yours. So John's telling us we're a child of God. What does that mean? It means we're a blood child. And we have that spiritual DNA. We have the ability to take on, and that family resemblance should be demonstrated. Other people should see that resemblance, that family resemblance. They should see our Father through us. And they can, because that's what's in you. And the other thing is, you carry the power of that name, because you've been named and called in the name of the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. You're a child of God. That's who you are. Remember that as you go through your day today.